Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest in the TeachNet podcast. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Ciarán McCormack from IADT. Ciarán, you're very welcome.
Michael, how are you?
Good. Ciarán, we know each other a long time. You've been involved in the area of technology and education for a good number of years, and we had the privilege to work on a number of projects in the past. How do you see technology being used in education?
Oh, that's a really good question. I suppose one of the main elements for me is that technology is used only when it suits the teacher. And what I mean by that is that quite often we see that we put technology in because we think it should be there. But really, technology for me is successful in the classroom when the teacher finds that it aids and enhances their teaching, not replaces anything that they do, or doesn't just traditionally replace something that they've already done because it's digital, but because it helps to enhance their teaching and it helps to enhance the learning in the classroom.
Absolutely. And I suppose, Ciarán, you've kind of used that philosophy in the design of a number of very innovative projects. Would you tell us about some of those?
Yeah, I mean, well, a long time ago, I came on board, and I didn't come up with this, but I came on board a project called the FISH project, which was Filament Schools, which is a project that has been running now for a good 9 years within schools around Ireland. And that basically was designed about introducing media, film, cameras, computers into the classroom, but from a curriculum integration perspective. And what we mean by that is that you could go and make a film, but as a primary school teacher making that film, you would have your children write a script, which would be creative writing. They would be acting, which would be linked into drama. They would be filming, and they would be doing art and storyboards. And as a result of that, during the filmmaking process, actually the teacher was able to cross-curricularly teach many subjects at the same time. And we kind of classified it as something as misdirection of learning. Tons of different names for it. That's the one that we use for it. Where the children were having fun at all stages of making a film, but they were actually learning core parts of the curriculum. So that was the kind of core foundation of some of the projects that we run. And then a follow-up from that was another project, actually, Michael, that you and I ran together in the beginning, was a project called the FISH Book Club. And the logic of that was very simple. The FISH Book Club project was designed that, very simply, we wanted to try and motivate and encourage children to read books. And as a result of that, we designed a project called thefishbookclub.com. Very simply, a child goes into the website. It's a walled environment that nobody can access. And when they go into that website, they search for a book that they might be interested in reading, like Harry Potter. And when they search for Harry Potter, uploads a video of another child in a different school presenting Harry Potter to them and telling them why they should read it and what it's all about. Now, the main issue there is about motivation and peer-to-peer learning, that the children are listening to each other and getting motivated about what books they should read. But a lot of the hidden learning that happens in the background is, well, they're reading a book. But if they want to become, i.e. famous on the website, well, they have to do a book report. And when they do the book report, they have to write the book report. Then they have to learn how to speak the book report out loud and link it to drama and presentational skills. Then they have to learn about the technology. And then they upload the video book review onto the website. When they do, they have to ask themselves one very simple question, and that question is, did what I say make sense? If the answer is yes, they post this live, and if the answer is no, it doesn't go live. And one of these very simple questions is that it actually allows the children to positively critique themselves in a very friendly environment where they're asking themselves very serious questions about the content they've written and what they've said and what they've recorded about a book, and then they're analyzing it in a positive way. And if it isn't as up to the standards that they think it is, they just say no and they do it again. So from there, we've been involved in many projects going forward, where we then designed an educational version of YouTube called Eurocreator. Now, we have to remember, when we designed this was before the time that we had a filtering system for YouTube in schools. And so there was a big need at the time for having a safe place for teachers to be able to upload video content and for students to be able to go to a site and search for content of educational context that they could download without being two clicks away from a skateboard or a dog on the dog. So Eurocreator was a project that we designed and built, which was a two-year lifespan and went into 28 countries because it was done as a part of a European project. And it was designed in 14 different languages with a little over 5,500 schools involved. And so from there, we've also been running the FISH Film Festival, which is an annual celebration, almost like an Oscar-like celebration in the Helix Theatre, with a full outside camera broadcast and a presenter, whoever's the most popular on Den TV within that year, presents the award ceremony for celebrating the films that they've made within the Fiche program. And from there, we've worked on a lot of other projects as well. So I don't want to go on and bore people, but Community Digital Media Center is a drop-in center for teenagers, and we've done a project called School in the Box, where we're sending digital schools into Africa and different elements like that.
Very interesting. And I suppose coming back to things like the Fiche Book Club and Fiche in general, in a year when the Department of Education is putting such emphasis on literacy, do you see that there is a connection between Fiche and the literacy strategy in the department?
Oh, well, yes. Well, I mean, any part of Fiche that we try and design it is designed about being cross-curricular. So if it's cross-curricular, then it obviously should fit into literacy naturally. But obviously the Fiche Book Club will be one that will be quite strong within the literacy strand from a lot of different elements. I mean, if you look at the literacy strategy that was produced by the department, they talk a lot about home learning as well, motivating, encouraging the parents to read and do homework with their children. The idea of motivating children to read, writing book reports, presenting the book reports, talking about them out loud. A lot of the elements within that literacy report with the book club has been trying to support and to encourage the children to do. So as a natural progression of books in general, it fits very well into the whole literacy strategy of what the department is doing. From a film and schools perspective, I mean, if you just look at the literacy part of script writing, so if they're making a film, well, a lot of the elements of creative writing, the aural and the oral, and within the language development, and all of those elements are there. So it is, we would see that it fits quite well and naturally into it. Really because the teachers are quite adaptive. And,
sure.
You know, teachers are the most adaptive people we know.
Sure.
They're changing every couple of years with new instructions coming in about different elements that they have to teach. So if you give them a good idea, they can take that idea and make it fit into anything in the classroom.
Sure. And I suppose some people may be listening and saying, oh, well, I'm not really that good at technology. Teachers, unfortunately, always put themselves down on that one. But I think from my recollection, particularly of the Fiche Book Club, you're using features in the technology that are just basically click and play. And I noted that even when you were talking there in your overview of the Fiche Book Club, there's no editing. So there's no need to go back. It's, you know, if you're not happy with it, you re-record it.
Yeah, I see. One of the most amazing things, I've had the pleasure in the last 4 years to be doing a lot of consultancy for Ministries of Education around Europe, just because of the kind of project that we were working on. And I've had the pleasure of seeing a lot of schools, and I've had the pleasure of seeing a lot of the content. And why am I raising that? Well, one of the most amazing things about Irish teachers is that they're actually very good at what they do, but they have a great tendency of playing it down. So they make a film, or they were doing a wonderful project in Lego and the Mindstorms, but they always say, oh, it's just a small little project that we're doing.
Yes.
And it's not. It's an amazingly big, powerful educational project, but they always just have it in their head that it's not as good as it should be.
Yes.
With regards to the elements of recording a book review, yeah, we encourage the schools who are non-technical to use a mobile phone, a teacher's mobile phone, an iPod, a flip camera, a video camera, any camera that has the ability to record. Because for us, it's not about the final product of what they make. In education, it should be about the process that they go through to make that product, because that's what they're doing in the first place. If it happens to be a great product, well, that's great because the children are motivated additionally to do it again. But actually, really, what it should be about from our perspective and teachers' perspective is about the process that they go through to make that book review and to make that recording. And so as a result, from the Fiche Book Club's perspective, we don't put emphasis on having a fantastic Hollywood-produced book review. In fact, the book club is all based around you stand in front of a camera and you talk. And when you're finished, press stop and you're done. And as a result of that, the book club site itself basically has a feature that if you have a web camera plugged in, so your investment in the school from an IT perspective, if you already have a computer, your investment is a webcam if you don't have one, which can be start from about 15 euro.
Sure.
When the camera is attached to your computer, the book club website will actually automatically detect the camera. So when you press record, it will detect to see if there's a web camera connected, and it will activate. And then the child just starts doing their book review. When they're finished, they press stop, and then that book review is then uploaded to the site. One of the things we're very conscious of is, well, twofold. With technology and introducing it to teachers, if they're concerned about technology, the biggest challenge they're going to have is about classroom management. The idea being is that, well, how do I manage this and do my teaching you know, in the way that I used to do it. So with the book club project, what we instigated was a moderation process, which meant that the teacher could actually continue to teach the class and allow the child to do the book review at the back of the class unsupervised. And if the child had done whatever they've done with the book review, even if it was inappropriate, and they clicked submit, it would go into basically a car park in the book club. And that car park was then moderated on a daily basis by us. And if the book was appropriate, we would then send it live. So we were trying to add in extra features that, being very aware from a teacher's perspective, that, you know, yeah, we're totally aware that there's a lot of teachers out there, they're still nervous about technology. But we'd add in as many features as possible to try and take away those fears that they have by guaranteeing that we will help them in any shape or form. One of the most amazing things I find and I think about teachers is that if we were in a friend's house and we wanted to get to the airport, I would never ask somebody, you know, have they got a driving license? Yes. You know, we just expect if they have a car, they know how to drive and they're there. If we see a computer in the classroom, we just automatically expect the teacher actually knows, is fully qualified and trained on how to do it. And the reality of it is they're not.
Yes.
It's that they pretend to use it sometimes because they don't know how to. They pretend to use it sometimes because they're supposed to. You know, it's been put in the class. The school has invested in it. And as a result, I think that quite often that by putting the tools in the classroom, we haven't put easy enough solutions in with them to make it easy enough for those who are afraid of technology to be able to do it. And that's what we were trying to do with the book club.
Yes. No, and very interesting. And I'm reminded of the words of Jason Oler, who's done a lot of writing in the whole area of digital storytelling about lowering the production costs. And I think that's very much in keeping with what you're doing in the Fiche Book Club. And also work that was done on the One Computer Classroom a long, long time ago, where some of us, when we started teaching, had one at the back of the room, and that was all we had. So it's funny to see those things coming back in. But you touched on something very interesting there, Ciarán, about, you know, good practice. You know, maybe you might give us a little bit of your vision of how you see from, you know, from your visits to various places, classrooms in Ireland and abroad, where you see technology going in education at the moment, and, you know, what are some of the challenges that teachers are facing and students?
Where do we see where it's going? Well, nobody really knows. I mean, if you look at the companies like Microsoft, Google, Apple, what they're very good at from a consumer perspective is developing tools that we never knew that we needed. And then all of a sudden we want them. And when they do that, we then fall into this trap that we think that we have to have them in education because it's the next best, greatest thing. But the solution that we had a year ago is not as good when it was, but it's just now not as good because something newer has come. So where it's going to go is an impossible question because it's very difficult to know. But where I see for Irish schools and my own personal vision of it all is a baby steps. I think sometimes our schools are moving too quickly. Sometimes. It depends on the board of management that's supporting it. It depends on the vision and the ICT strategy that's been put in place by the school. But sometimes I think that we're often jumping too quickly. And actually, rather than deploying mobile devices or computers to every single child, we need to just go back to the teacher again. And we need to just start with the teacher again, because quite often we're forgetting about the teacher. And where I see it in an ideal world, in an ideal situation within a year or two, is that every teacher was given a device, be it mobile, be it a laptop, be it a computer, and that they're given the opportunity to use it in their teaching. And then from there, once the teacher has become comfortable with the idea of using this technology in the classroom, then I see a future where every student will have a device. And because the teacher has been treated first, and because the teacher has been given the opportunity to use the technology, find the right teaching content that suits their style, find the right software that will work for the kinds of learners in their classroom, then I believe that your one-to-one deployments will be a huge success, because the teachers come first, they've thought about it, they've been given time to implement it, and then when they have all of that content ready, when the students come on board with their own devices, the teacher is already way ahead of them. I don't mean from a technological perspective, because in reality, you know, we could train teachers for years, and then the next day some student will come in who will just know more than them. And so in reality, what we have to just do is, part of that in empowering the teacher is also to empower them to know and empower them to feel that it's okay not to know everything.
Yes.
Because traditionally, as teachers, the first thing is that we are always the master of most content. We are the point of most information. We are the ones that would transmit the information and the students listen, particularly more in a secondary school environment at times. Whereas if you introduce this whole role of technology into the classroom, And that's a really scary place for teachers, because they're not going to be the master of all content. They're not going to be the curriculum expert in that area. And so trying to help the teachers understand that it's okay not to know how to use the technology, but as long as you know what you want to do with it, the students will certainly help you get there, because they're going to know it already. And if you're okay with guiding them and not actually using it, then I see technology having a much more important and stronger role as we go forward. So a long answer to a very short question. I think if we, in the future, for me, in an ideal world, teachers first, getting teachers used to, prepared, and being able to teach with technology on their own, and then over time implementing some form of one-to-one deployment for students, where the students then can follow and interact in a digital element. Most of the successful deployments I've seen throughout Europe have always been where the teacher comes first.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is not a day or two first, like a couple of months where they've got plenty of time to be able to integrate this into their own teaching and learning.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Ciarán. I suppose the literature and the research is pretty clear on that, unfortunately. All too often, departments of education and others don't seem to grasp that. I mean, I've just been doing some work recently with some schools where they invested heavily on interactive whiteboards, and when they look back on it, that the area that they need most assistance with is the teacher training, the CPD. So, you know, it's an area that seems to be the last thing that's put in, and not the first thing, like you've been advocating.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I've noticed a lot is, I mean, first of all, if a school has an ICT policy, which it's great, but a lot of them don't. Mm. And for me, having a strategy, having a business, I mean, if for any business or any company, and I sadly, I know I'll get shot for saying this, but sometimes I think there's elements of a school that need to be run like a business. And what I mean by that is that if a school or a business was going to deploy some new solution and new infrastructure in, a lot of research will be done, a project plan will be put out, and a very strict guidelines of what needs to be done. And I think that has to happen for schools as well. So if we wanted to roll out technology in our schools, well, I mean, there's a lot of infrastructure that needs to be explored. There's a lot of CPD that needs to be explored, because there's a lot of elements that we don't know what the teachers need, because particularly if we look at mobile devices, I mean, in reality, if you look at the likes of the Samsung Galaxy Tabs, the Androids, and the iPads, they are really only in schools and around in our hands, in our pockets, for 2 years. So nobody actually knows, really, what the direct impacts of the learning are.
Yes.
It's too early. From a research perspective, if anyone was doing this, say, look, we need more time to see what's happening. And so as a result of that, we can't expect teachers to be able to adapt straight up to deploy this into a classroom without the appropriate professional development, without consultation with the teacher to find out, look, what are your fears and what are your concerns, and can we help you with those? So, yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, the CPD is such an important part of this, and quite often, actually nearly in a lot of times, it's overlooked. It's considered CPD, in most cases, is a day or two just before they come back,
yes.
You know, before they're back off summer holidays, they'll do two or three days to CPD. And I sometimes don't think that's always fair. In some schools it will work, but a lot of schools, teachers need to be able to do it, perhaps in March,
sure.
If they're doing something that's going to be deployed in September.
Or over.
Have time with it, the training's there, and then have time to play with it as such.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, it's this whole notion of just-in-time teacher CPD, yeah. and deep CPD. Bringing it on, because time is going to beat us and we could be here all evening chatting. One of your most recent projects is iPad apps in education, which leads on very nicely from this whole discussion we've been having about mobile devices. Mm. And you were telling me earlier that this is something you're doing in your spare time. I didn't think you had any spare time, but anyway, tell us a little bit about this.
Well, it's kind of funny how this came about. The site is called TME, and it basically stands for Technology Made Easy. And the way it came about was there's a lot of questions coming to us when we're doing professional development, both for Mac and PC and for digital media, where people were saying, for example, you know, do you have any good resources on how to use iTunes? Do you have any good resources on how to use Audacity? And at the time, I am very Mac-focused, and I've always said that for a long time. And that's just, for me, it's a personal choice. And so I noticed that there were a lot of tutorials that could be done, that needed to be done. Well, about a year and a half ago, my wife was pregnant, and she started going to bed very early. She'll kill me for saying this. So she's going to bed at 8 o'clock, and I figured, well, if she's going to bed at 8 o'clock, what else could I do with my spare time? So I set up Technology Made Easy. And the logic of it is a review every two or three days. Review is actually not even a fair word. It's a demo every two or three days. And what happened, we initially started off with the demos and how to use iTunes, I think your iPods, how to use a Mac, how to use iMovie. And actually, really then when the iPad and mobile devices started coming along, I realized that there was a ton of app review websites out there. And they were all great. But for me, as an educator, I was looking for something in geography and, you know, trying to help other geography teachers. And then I noticed that the person who was doing the review of this app in an American website was, first of all, it was text-based, so it was written up. Secondly, it was photographs, which to me was quite weird that I wanted to see what the app looked like. And we're living in a digital age, but it was all text and photographs. But thirdly, the reviewer had no knowledge of geography, but was telling them that, you know, that this app wasn't right for geography. So I thought this was all wrong in my own head, and I thought that wouldn't it be great if we had a website that actually just demoed the app?
Sure.
I mean, I'm not a curriculum expert. I can't be a curriculum expert in science, physics, maths, chemistry, geography. Most teachers are only curriculum experts in two.
Sure.
So I thought, wouldn't it be great if we just demoed the app with my fingers, basically flicking the apps going right through us, and allowing the teacher to decide. So because teachers, as we said earlier, are really adaptive, that you know, I could show them something. For example, there's a great app that I love called Video Physics, which is all based around how to analyze somebody kicking a football.
Yes.
But really then, a maths teacher could look at that and say, well, actually, I could teach the kids in Angry Birds by filming Angry Birds, motion, velocity, and speed and distance.
Brilliant.
And so as a result of that, I basically set up the website to do quick app demos, 3 minutes or less, which, because I thought that's a general attention span, who's, you know, you get enough information out of it. And actually, it is mostly on iPads, but it's also on Android.
Very nice.
Challenge is, though, it's a lot harder for me to demo them on the Android because of sometimes it can be defragmented. That's just for me as a demoer. So I try and demo apps that are across the board, like, for example, apps that have been made for both the Android and the iPad market. But most of the apps probably, it will be fair to say, on TME are iPad-based.
Well, Ciarán, I've been on the site. Just one quick question before we close, because time is definitely beating us here tonight. How do you record those demos?
There's lots of different ways you can do it. If you're using a Mac, there's a new way called Reflections. It basically streams the iPad to your Mac. And when it streams the iPad to your Mac, you have the ability to use Captivate, ScreenFlow, QuickTime Recorder. It's basically a screen capturing software to record it. The ones I like, though, is that if you're streaming your iPad to your computer, then you don't capture your fingers. So if you're not capturing your fingers, how do you show what buttons you pressed?
Yes.
So for me, I use a tripod and a camera.
I basically
do the old-fashioned recording.
No. I love the way that your fingers are there and you can see what you're doing. That's what I was interested in. But
yeah.
Listen, fascinating, Ciarán. You're an inspiration. And we will put up the links to Technology Made Easy because there's so much on there. I'd recommend it to people. And as you say, you do lovely little demos of the apps and you let it up to teachers and whoever, parents or whoever, to decide how they can be used. Let us wish you all the best, and we need to have you back again because we only touched on a quarter of the things here this evening, and we'd like to thank you for your time.